turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. And today we're looking at verses 24 through 30. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, your mercy upon us. Thank you for meeting with us already in song and in time of prayer and through the reading of your word. And we pray that as we come before your word at this time, that you would speak afresh to us. Give us ears to hear you, hearts to receive you. May we be mindful to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we worked a little bit with chapter 7, verses 1 to 23, and we saw how Jesus was somewhat frustrated with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were frustrated with Jesus and with his disciples. And kind of the point of that frustration was that the Pharisees came, they sought Jesus out, they saw his disciples not following with some of the rituals. They weren't washing their hands before they ate. And it wasn't a matter of hygiene. It was a matter of kind of ritual cleansing. And we saw Jesus kind of very frustrated with these folks, because they were concerned about kind of outside purity, if you will, kind of ritual cleansing, making sure that you had done everything right, but their hearts weren't right. And so here they had... They were kind of participating in this, what we might call a holiness movement, trying to be holy. But they were just dealing with outside stuff, rituals, ceremonies, traditions. And they weren't dealing with the heart. And so Jesus is after them. And what Jesus is saying is that it's about the heart. That it's not about the ceremonies that you go through. It's not about the rituals that you participate in. It's not about the traditions that you're trying to keep. It's about the heart. And the heart needs to be changed. And so he deals with that, and he's frustrated with them. And where Jesus is at with it is that Jesus has come to bring about a holiness of heart. Not just about, you know, keeping rituals, but about a holiness of heart, a transformation. Now that was last week's, and I'm not going to say a whole lot more about it, except that now Jesus is going to another place. Jesus is going to Tyre. And this region is a Gentile region. Okay, and so I don't know whether Jesus had enough of the conflict, because there were people that came from Jerusalem, leaders, Pharisees that came from Jerusalem up to kind of check him out and to confront him. But Jesus goes on from there. And he leaves the Jewish area and he goes to a Gentile area, to the region of Tyre. And I don't know whether Jesus is just trying to get away, whether he's thinking, well, they won't follow me here, because they're so caught up with the rituals and purity stuff down there that there's no way they'll go to a Gentile territory. And so he goes there, and I think he wants some time alone, maybe some time with his disciples, but news has already spread about him, even into Gentile territory. And so there's a woman there who has a little girl that's demon-possessed, and she hears about Jesus, and she finds him. And she finds out where he's at, and she goes to meet him, And she lets him know, my little girl is demon-possessed. She has an unclean spirit, and she's expecting Jesus to do something. Now, look with me at the response. First, let the children eat all they want. First, let the children be satisfied, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. The woman comes to the feet of Jesus, and she's in the right place. She's at the right position. And one of the things that we've noticed is that when Jesus is, if you want Jesus to work in your life, if you are seeking Jesus to kind of bring God's kingdom into your world, the place to be is at his feet. We saw that all through Mark chapter 5. Whether it's the man who is possessed by a legion of demons, Jesus gets out of the boat, there's the man, this confrontation takes place, but he's at Jesus' feet. And Jesus casts the demons out of him, they go into the herd of pigs, they run down the hill, they drown themselves in the lake, and the man is there clothed and in his right mind. He was at the feet of Jesus, healing came. We saw Jairus, the synagogue ruler. His little daughter lay sick and dying in bed. And he leaves home and he goes and finds Jesus and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus and tells Jesus about what's going on. And you know how the story goes, that there's an interruption, but eventually Jesus gets to his house. The little girl's already died, but Jesus raises her to life. He was at the feet of Jesus. We saw Jesus, that interruption was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. And in her bleeding for 12 years, she had spent all that she had on doctors, and no one could help her. She was getting worse. But she reaches out, she touches the garment, the edge of Jesus' cloak, and she's healed. And Jesus wants to know, who's touched me? And she realizes what has happened, and she realizes that she's kind of been found out. And so she casts herself at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus tells her, daughter, your faith has saved you. See, in every one of these episodes, we have somebody at the feet of Jesus in desperate need. And at the feet of Jesus, they're open to what Jesus desires to do in their life. They're open to receiving the salvation that Jesus has for them. Now, we've also seen folks who won't place themselves at the feet of Jesus. People from Jesus' hometown. We know him. He can't be the Messiah. He's just one of us. The Pharisees who come up from Jerusalem, they question him. They criticize him. They're upset with him that he won't get on with their traditions. And so they refuse to bow down before Jesus. And when you don't bow down before Jesus, when you don't cast yourself at the feet of Jesus, then you're not open to what Jesus desires to do in your life. The kingdom of God won't come in your life because you're resisting it. And you're not willing to recognize just how impoverished you are. See, at the feet of Jesus, that's when we're poor in spirit. At the feet of Jesus, that's when we are humble. And when we are humble, when we are recognizing our neediness, when we are seeing ourselves as God sees us, that's when there's the opportunity, the ability to be open for what God desires to do in our life, the kingdom to come. This woman, she's Greek, she's Gentile, but she recognizes that it's through Jesus that God's kingdom comes. And so she finds Jesus and she throws herself at the feet of Jesus and she's crying out for her daughter, desperate for her daughter to be healed. We're expecting something here, right? We're expecting Jesus to respond to her. She's in the right place. She's recognizing her desperation. She's recognizing her need. And so she's at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus tells her, first, let the children eat and be satisfied. For it's not right to take bread from the children's table, bread from the children, and cast it to the dogs. Now, what do you hear in that? I don't know. When I read through that, that's not the line I'm expecting from Jesus. I'm expecting Jesus to say something along the lines of, "Woman, your faith has saved you. Woman, go in peace, your daughter is well." I mean, that's kind of what I'm expecting, and isn't it kind of a shock? Am I the only one that's kind of shocked at this, at Jesus' response? First, let the children eat and be filled, be satisfied. It's not right to take the bread from the children and give it to the dogs. Do you know what Jesus is saying there? He's basically calling her a dog. I mean, do you guys normally think about Jesus calling people dogs? So this is kind of a little bit of a shocking thing here that Jesus is saying. It's not right to take from the children and give it to their dogs, because in that culture, in that world, the children were who?
Israel,
the Jews. And the dogs were?
Gentiles.
And so the Jews referred to Gentiles as being dogs, as being kind of second class. And so Jesus is saying, children first. It's not right to take from the children and give to the dogs. Now, I don't know. I wish I was there. I wish I could read the expressions on Jesus' face as he's saying that. I wish I could hear the tones in his voice. I wish I could tell exactly what was going on, because just on paper, it sounds kind of harsh. You know, somebody from outside the church comes in and they're asking for a plate of food on Friday night, and I say, children first, dogs second. I mean, how's that going to go over? You know, we serve the children first, and then if there's anything left over, then we feed the dogs. Okay, well, you're just slamming them. Okay, and that's what it sounds like is going on here. It sounds like Jesus just slammed this woman that's on her feet asking for him to heal her daughter. Children first, dogs later. Well, the children are no doubt is a reference to the Jews. The Jews were considered to be the children of God. We see this in various places in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 14:1, you have the word, "You are the children of God. You are the sons of God." This word to Israel: "You're the children of God. You're a most treasured possession. You're to be holy because God is holy." Other places we find where God refers to Israel as God's firstborn son. And so there's this sense that, yeah, every people is a creature of God, but the children of God, that's Israel. So we're all creatures, but the Jews, they were chosen by God, a most special possession. They're the children. The bread. A few weeks ago, Vonda preached on the feeding of the 5,000. You have the broken loaves. And the bread, Jesus feeding the 5,000. And taken the 5 loaves, and there's bread for everybody, and everybody is satisfied. What's going on with that is that Jesus is bringing this kind of messianic banquet, this banquet of God's kingdom coming in all of its fullness, and the bread kind of is bread from heaven, and this blessing of God's salvation, and so. You know, the bread that Jesus is talking about, on the one hand, yeah, it's just bread from the table, and you don't take bread from the table and give it to the dogs, you feed the kids. But on the other hand, it's not just bread on the table he's talking about. He's talking about the bread of the kingdom of God. The blessing of God's salvation, the fullness of it. And so Jesus is saying that it's not right to take the salvation of God's kingdom and it's for the children and to give it to the dogs. And they're satisfied. Again, the feeding of the 5,000 is in view here. It's not right to take from them. First, the children are satisfied. It sounds like, on the one hand, it sounds like Jesus is saying, no. That I'm not going to heal your little girl. But again, that's where I wish that I could see his face. That's where I wish that I could hear the inflections in his voice, the tones in his voice. Did you notice how Jesus said, first? He says, first, the children are to be satisfied. And then, the and then is implied. Listen to his words again. It's verse 27. First, let the children eat all they want. Or first, let the children be satisfied. Feeding of the 5,000 in the back of your mind, and they were all satisfied. First, let the children be satisfied. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. I think that first is pretty important. I think that first you ought to underline it. Don't leave, underline it. I think with that first, what's important to get is that God has an order to the salvation that God is working. And if you don't pick up on the first, you're kind of missing the whole story of Scripture. See, the first is that humanity was lost. Humanity was torn. All of humanity was corrupted by sin. And how is God going to deal with that? God calls Abraham. And God makes a promise to Abraham. God says to Abraham that through you and through your offspring, I'm going to bless all peoples. So what God is going to do is, out of all humanity that has become corrupt, God's going to work a remedy. And God's going to work that remedy by starting out with one man and his wife and their family. And through that one man and woman and through their family, God is going to bring the cure to all humanity. It starts with that one man, that one family, and from that one family, it's going to go to all people. The passage that Richard read, in Exodus 19, we have kind of that promise continuing. God telling Moses to say to the people that you've seen what I've done to Egypt. You've seen how I brought you to myself on eagle's wings, brought you through the wilderness to me. Now here's the deal. If you will covenant with me, you will be my people. I'll be your God. And you will be a most treasured possession of all the peoples on the earth, because it's through you, you'll be a holy nation, you'll be a kingdom of priests, it's through you that I will bless all peoples. Okay, a holy nation, a people set apart to God, to conform to the ways of God. A kingdom of priests, what do priests do? They teach the ways of God and they bring the needs of people before God. See, a priest is not a position that's an end in itself. A priest is for the sake of others. And so here you have a chosen people. This people is not an end in themselves. This people is for all nations. What God is doing here in this whole story of Scripture is God is developing a people through whom he will bless all peoples. And that's what's going on with the first here. The woman isn't Jewish. She's of another race. And what Jesus is saying is, first, in terms of the story of God, using the Jews to reach all races. First, the children need to be satisfied. And then is implied. And then the bread will be for all peoples. Now, I don't know if you picked up on the passage that Ira read, opened the service this morning. But it's in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And Paul is saying there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for why? For it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe. And then what's it say? Anybody remember? Isn't it something along the lines of to the Jew first and then the Gentile? See, Paul's picking up on the same first that Jesus is picking up on, or that Jesus is stating, And Jesus is just working, Paul is just working, with the whole kind of storyline of Scripture. That through the Jews, God will bless all peoples. And it's by faith. And so, what we have here is Jesus kind of in this first, laying out the story to the woman. I don't know if the woman picked up on all that or not. You know, she's Gentile. I don't know whether she knew the Old Testament story or not. I don't know how much history she knew of Israel. For sure she knew that there was some animosity between her people and their people. But given what she had heard about Jesus and given the need of her daughter, she just kind of pushed all that animosity aside. And she pushed all that kind of protocol aside. And she goes to Jesus and she's crying out to him. Now get what the woman says back to Jesus. She says, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table eat the scraps, eat the crumbs that fall to the floor." You know what you or I probably would have said? We would have said, "No, that's not right." We would have challenged Jesus at that point. "What do you mean calling me a dog? What do you mean you're the children of God? God made us all. We're all the children of God. Who are you to be calling me a dog? And who are you to be calling my people the dogs?" We would have protested. We might have even wanted to fight. We might have wanted to throw down with Jesus. But look at the woman's response. "Yes, Lord." She accepts it. She accepts it that she's not a Jew. She accepts that she's a Gentile. She accepts that salvation comes through the Jews. She accepts first. But then she's not given up. Her faith is in Jesus, and she really believes that God is going to work through Jesus and bring healing to her daughter. And she basically says, "Okay, first, but even while they're getting it first, there's always crumbs that fall." And that's, Jesus is amazed at her answer. And I just kind of wonder, if this whole thing, this whole conversation is kind of a test. Where Jesus is kind of saying, "Okay, let me just see how faithful you are. I think you're onto something. Let me throw you a little riddle and see if you get it." I mean, I teach, and sometimes I'll do that with a student. That if I feel like they're kind of close to getting it, I might throw them a little curve or something just to see if they can get it. Just to see if they can hit it. And what's going on here with Jesus is, I think he sees her faith, and he says, let me just test her a little bit. Let me help this faith grow a little bit. And he kind of throws her this riddle, and she gets it. And she says, even the dogs get to eat from the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus says, "For your response," she got it. "For your response, the demon has already left your daughter." And she goes home and she finds her daughter resting and well. Now, boy, I don't know everything to do with it. He tests the woman's faith, and the woman, she just passes with flying colors. She accepts everything that Jesus says about, and that Jesus implies about salvation coming through the Jews. She's not offended at that. But she recognizes that if it's coming through them, there's blessing for her. And Jesus, demon's already gone. Daughter's well. Quite the contrast, isn't it? Between those Jews from Jerusalem that came up to check out Jesus and completely missed it. So caught up in ritualism that they couldn't grasp the kingdom of God coming through Jesus. Even quite the contrast to the disciples who had been hanging around Jesus. And they're not picking things up very quickly. And here is this Greek woman who has faith. And in the midst of her faith, Jesus works and brings salvation. See, salvation comes through the Jews, and in particular, salvation comes through Jesus. And there is no people, no race, that is outside the scope of God's blessing, that is outside of being gathered together under the reign of Jesus. It comes through the Jews. It comes through Jesus, the Jew. But because it comes through him, there's nobody of any race that is outside the scope of the blessings of God, that is beyond being gathered into and under the reign of Jesus. This is pretty good news, because I'm not sure how many of us here are of Jewish descent. I know I'm not. The person I would identify with in this story is the woman. But the good news of the story is that even though we're not part of that chosen people, we're not that most treasured possession, yet God created that treasured possession, that chosen people, so that we could experience the redemption of God, so that we could be part of the kingdom of God, so that we could know God's salvation in our lives. So I hope one of the things that you're hearing this morning is some good news. It's probably news you've never even thought about before. But Jesus didn't come just for the Jews. Jesus came for all peoples. And here we have this Gentile woman representing the rest of us who are experiencing the blessing of God and the kingdom of God and the salvation of God. Because God chose to work through the Jews, God chose to work through Jesus to bless all peoples. I think we need to push it one step further. I think we need to be careful that we don't slip into, what should I say? We don't slip into a mindset where Jesus came just for us, or Jesus came just for a particular race, or Jesus came just for a particular neighborhood, or Jesus came just for a particular kind of socioeconomic status. See, it's real easy to begin to slip into the mindset that Jesus came just for us, whatever your us is. You know, if you're a college student, it's easy to kind of think that the only way to be a Christian is to be a college student. And a Point Loma one at that. Or sometimes if you're incarcerated, it's easy to think that everybody else out there in the world, they're just all, you know, they're just all going to be damned. That so much stuff they're involved in, that Jesus, that the only way to be saved is to be part of us. That everybody on the outside, you know, they're just going to hell. And sometimes it's easy to kind of start slipping into thinking in terms of you got to be on this side of the border. Or you got to be on that side of the border, or that part of town and not this part of town. It's real easy to begin to kind of localize God's kingdom, God's salvation, and to think it's just for us. And everybody else is an outsider, and it's not really for them. And so while we may not wrestle a whole lot in terms of we're not Jewish, are we included? We've kind of got past that question. Our question kind of becomes, we're not educated, we're not included. Or we're not incarcerated, we're not included. Or we're not from this part of town, or we're not from that part of town, or we don't have this skin color, or we don't have this financial background. And we begin to kind of dice up, if you will, the Gentiles And so some Gentiles get saved, but the rest of them are going to hell. And see, the message of this, the word of this is that because God has come in Jesus to bless all peoples, that there is no race, there's no people that is outside the scope of God's salvation, of God's blessings. That God really desires to gather all under the name of Jesus and to pour out that salvation in everyone's heart. So I would challenge you this morning to begin to think more broadly about salvation. That God's blessing is not just for you and your people group. That God's blessing through Jesus is a call to all to come to the feet of Jesus and to experience the presence of the kingdom. One of the things that I appreciate about Southeast is that we have folks here from a lot of walks, a lot of different backgrounds. And it's one of the things I really appreciate about being here, about serving here. But I also know that it's a constant struggle for all of us to kind of keep this Jesus perspective. That it's not just the college students who are the ones who are really saved. Or it's not just the people from the halfway house that are the ones who are really saved. Or it's not just the people that have been in the church for years and years and years that are really saved. Or it's not just the people who have this or do this or whatnot. We have to keep this Jesus perspective. That the kingdom comes through Jesus. And that there's an invitation for everybody to be at the feet of Jesus. Regardless of race, regardless of education, regardless of record, regardless of status, regardless of income, the invitation is there. That God blesses through Jesus for all peoples who are willing to come to his feet. One of the ways that we come to the feet of Jesus is through taking communion. That when we come and we receive the bread and the cup, We are recognizing that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus is our Lord, and that it's through Jesus that we are part of the kingdom. Through Jesus, we receive God's salvation in our lives. And we also recognize that not only is it through Jesus, but it's for everyone. We all share the same meal. We don't divide up like happens in a high school cafeteria where the blacks eat over here, the Mexicans eat over here, the surfers eat over here, and the skaters over there. We don't divide up that way. Okay, it's not like in prison where you got the Mexicans here, blacks here, rednecks here. It's not like that. Okay, when we come, we recognize that the salvation of Jesus is for all, and we all eat together. And we are all as desperate as any one person, just like this woman. And so I invite you to stand and to come. And Eddie, if you and Danny and Ira would come, and if you would sing Desperate for You. And some of you know the words, so feel free to join in with them as they sing. But we all come in this desperation, just like the woman. And the salvation is for all. So would you stand?